G'day and good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Today we're moving right on along. We're up to number 9, would you believe? So we go to our blog, we go down to Magnetic Will Part 3, which is steps 9 to 12. Sorry if there was any confusion in that earlier. We go all the way down to step 9 and we talk today about the magnetic mask. And I think it's a fascinating topic because as soon as you say this to anybody, they get the sense that something is intrinsically wrong when we put on a mask. And yet, we're all going to acknowledge that the definition of spiritual is to have the internal world within us in some state of organization and some state of wellness, and have it separate from the outer self, which is all about achieving goals and getting things done and la la. And we talk about inner peace, but we don't often say outer peace. So there's a reason that there is a huge advocacy for meditation and what have you, because there's so much adrenaline and so much people hyped up about going for runs and learning things and earning money and bringing home the bacon and having sex and looking good and dressing up and branding ourselves and getting promoted and getting rewarded and getting liked. There's so much emphasis at the moment on everything being externalized that quite often we think the internal and the external is the same topic, and that's completely wrong. Inside us is how we feel. Now, it's important that how we feel and what we do align up. We talked about this the other day when we talked about enthusiasm on the inside and interest on the outside. We talked about an alignment between the inner world and the outer world and how unmagnetizing it is when one of those two is not in function. So the discipline here today is that we need to put on the mask, which is, in a sense, the ability to say, I'm here, I've turned up, and I'm interested, and to demonstrate that, which is personal brand and all the things that go with it. However, it is not a mask that suggests that there is a falsification taking place. There is no advocacy here in this work of inner wealth to say that we should mask up so that we lie or deceive. What we're saying is we can change how we feel and we can change how we think. And we need to know what we want to think and what we want to feel so that they come in an alignment. They're not the same thing. But we want to feel enthusiastic and we want to feel interested in what's going on. We want to be interested in what's going on. So the mask is very important because what it's basically saying is you have a right to your privacy. Now, the way I describe this is, and when I'm working with people in First Nation who are not really going to buy into the whole, you know, academic language, is to imagine that in front of you right now there's a beautiful garden. Let me just draw it out on a sheet of paper and we'll go now to the notepad and we'll work through it. So in Shakespeare's language, we put on a mask. This is an actor in this little picture here, GIF, that's putting on a real acting show. But you can kind of like tell what's going on inside this person is really not what's going on outside. So it's bad acting, if you want to call it that. There was another picture here somewhere on the screen, but it's evaporated as these things do. Here we go. And this is another version of it where you've got someone putting on a pair of sunglasses to give a false impression while they hold on to a skull. Now, this is absolutely the opposite to what we're advocating. So let's just draw this concept. Here's you, a little stick figure over here. And out in front of you, let's just imagine that there's a garden with a picket fence around it. I wish I could do this in 3D for you, but anyway. With a picket fence around it, and inside that garden, There are little bushes, there's a pathway, there's a pond with a few fish in it, there's a flower bed, maybe there's a seat, maybe there's a bit of grass, there's a stone, little stone garden, there's a little zen, there's a zen space, another tree over here. And so you get this idea that in front of us there's a garden. And this is our internal world building out into the external. So it's our soul, it's our soul space, it's our inner world. And that is the equivalent, or another way to talk about having a garden in front of you. And around that garden there's a picket fence and there's a gate. And the question you're going to have is, who do you let in the gate? Who do you allow to come in and walk around your garden? Well, the fact is this, that nobody that comes through the gate can see the garden you've built. And so everybody you allow in the gate, every person you allow to your inner world, thinks that they can see your inner world because they think they can see your inner world through their eyes, through their own perspectives, through their own beliefs and judgments. Even the person who loves you most on this planet, your parents or your partner or your brothers and sisters or your best friend in the world, even those people are blind to what is in your garden. And so the reason that there's a picket fence around your garden is so people can stand and look in. People can stand around your garden. Friends, relatives, parents, siblings, children can look in your garden, but they can't come in. And the job you have is making sure this garden, which is your soul, which is your heart space, which is your personal presence, is kept manicured and well. Now, when we talk about a mask, we talk about the fence, which basically says to people, this is the external expression of my inner place to which you cannot come. And so the mask is what you present to the world. Now that mask, that picket fence, needs to be designed to be clear in signaling to people that you mean well, that you care for them, that you love them, that you're interested in them, that you value them, you value their well-being, but there's a point at which they cannot intrude. There's a point at which they cross the line. We say to people very often, if you don't ask for advice, don't listen to it. And that's one of the fence posts. The next one would be, don't throw your opinions out to the world because your opinions are worthless. That's you crossing or pushing down the gate. And don't listen to opinions of other people because that's them stampeding all over your garden. Now, I love the metaphor of the garden because of this. One, it means it's a beautiful place and you own it, and it's your duty and priceless respect for yourself to conserve that. Two, it doesn't have anything material in it. It doesn't matter how much money you've got, how many university degrees you've got, how many employees or how many people in your team, it doesn't matter how many shoes you own or what sort of car you've got, it has no relevance. This is your inner feeling, how you feel, irrespective of what goes on outside the fence. Outside the fence, you put on clothes so that people can notice who you are. You put on a hairstyle so people can notice who you are. You talk. So people can hear who you are. And so you use your senses to communicate you outside of the fence. But if there is no privacy, if there's no sense of you inside the fence, then you've allowed, don't blame others, but you've allowed the world to come in and become you. And so then you can't be you. You can't have respect or self-worth. For example, it's not uncommon for me to work with a young person who has fallen in love. And we remember in the last, we drew these circles of connection between two people. And we said, let's say, we're going to copy it. We're going to paste it over here. And let's say two people overlap 33 1/3%. That's a relationship. That's a healthy relationship between two people. So we've got a healthy relationship between two people. When this person's garden, their individuality, and this one's individuality, occupy 66 2/3% of their life. In other words, our garden is remained private and precious, even though we want the ultimate level of intimacy with another person. If we are following nature's law, and if we are trying to be sacred with everything we do, and therefore respectful, you can only overlap another person's energy 33 1/3%. And that is the absolute extreme of love and intimacy between two people. But what happens so often in young relationships, and sometimes in the fantasy of older relationships, people think, let's try and get rid of this writing in the middle, people think that they should overlap almost like one, two people make one. Now, it is absolutely a catastrophe when this happens, because if I draw the diagram, if one person is pushing in to try to be merged with another, what it will do, by the laws of nature, it forces the other person to move away in order to re-establish 33 1/3%. And if you follow the rules of relationship, when this person moves away, maybe they find, have an affair, this one gets hurt, the first person who tried to smother them gets hurt, and goes out and withdraws. And then all of a sudden the other person comes back and tries to recapture the relationship because they feel lonely, as it were. So this business of going in and out and in and out, when we've got too much of somebody in our presence, we push them away. When we've got too little, we pull them back. And you'll hear quite often about people who have relationships that break up, and then they try to get back together again, and then they break up and they try to get back together again. When they break up, they get individual. When they get together again, they overcook it, and then they push each other away. And this pushing in and pulling back is a really sad reality, that we don't have to have so much pain in relationships when we basically say, I have a garden. This garden in front of me is my responsibility to preserve. It's my responsibility to keep. It's my responsibility to feel right about myself, to feel love and feel truth inside myself, to connect with the stars, with the universe, with nature. It's my responsibility. It's not the responsibility of my relationship to cause that. I bring myself to a relationship, but I bring myself with a picket fence around this garden, which is my sacred self. And I share not my garden with another person. I share my intimacy with another person. And that creates a health. Now, whether it's intimacy we want to share, or whether it's business management, or whether it's a partnership in a property or anything else, when two people try to get too aligned, too similar, too inseparable, they inevitably overcook it and eventually push each other apart. We don't have to do that if we can respect this idea of the mask. The mask is where we have an inner world, and in that inner world we are individualized, we are born alone, we die alone, we grow that thing inside ourselves. Now, what a lot of people don't understand is that the higher up you go in business and life, the bigger your responsibility, the bigger the garden becomes. And so the more people you can have at the picket fence, but in some ways, therefore, the more self-accountable, the more lonely, the more responsible you are for the preservation of this inner world. Now, there's a lot you can do to make that inner world beautiful. There's a connection with nature, there's self-talk early in the morning, there's exercise that rejuvenates you, but there is one thing more than all other things that will cause you to have the most beautiful, big and expansive, not lonely garden in the world, and that one thing is your magnetism. Because that is the definition of the size of the self. And when you get respect for this magnetism, when you get respect for this prana or life force, or call it whatever language you want to call it, when you get respect for this energy, you know you need to fence it, you know you need to protect it, and you know therefore you put on a mask so that you do not give it away to the outer world. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.